So, Pastor Dawn did something very strategic. She didn't tell you I was teaching, so you all showed up. And I don't know whether I'm happy about that or not, but we'll go with happy. So do we have any visitors today, first time coming to Liberty, that you're checking us out? Except for Anthony, who comes so late. No, good. That's a good. Oh, no, we do. Welcome. Yes, I won't point at you and let everybody see. So I am not the pastor, just so you understand that. I am not the pastor. But I have a word for you today. And the really exciting part of this word is that Pastor Don also made the, I'm going to call it error, of telling me or asking me if I would teach today a month ago. Now, those of you that have been around me and around Liberty, I usually am told the day before or the morning of, right? I seem to be the go-to when somebody doesn't show up, all right? Or somebody's sick or something happens and they go, Jeff, I'm like, okay, I'll be there. I can do it. And God will download on me right away and then I'll come here not knowing nothing and God has to use me. And I have to just be open to it so that we have a worship service like we had this morning, so that I know that God is going to be able to download on me. So yesterday when Susan and Pastor Don were leaving, we went to lunch, and Pastor Don said to me, so you've had a month. You ready? And I went, well, actually, I have a problem. There's the sermon I want to give, and then there's the one God's been downloading on me for the last couple weeks, and I haven't figured out how to mesh them together. And when she got done laughing, she goes, really, Jeff, you're going to do yours instead of the one God wants to bring to the people? And I went, no, I'm sure it was God. But anyway, so 2 o'clock this morning, I got woken up. And those of you that have known me for a while, and I've heard people say sometimes I have a hard time falling asleep because my brain's going, I never have that problem. My head hits the pillow, as Susan says, and within 10 seconds I'm snoring. Because going to bed is for sleeping. So that's what I do when I get there. Right? Last night my brain kicked on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I kept telling it, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Instead I got up because God gave me the meshing of the two. So I'm very happy about that. The only problem is I wrote my notes at 2:30 this morning. I can't read them. They made a lot of sense at 2 o'clock in the morning, but they don't make a lot of sense when I read them when I got here. But that's okay, because God's still in charge, right? God is still in charge. So here's the thing. This is really going to be a teaching, not a preaching. I don't really preach. I teach. And that's that different perspective, even though it comes from a higher thing. It's that I like real-world applications of the Bible. I like to know, how does it make my life better? How do I use it? How do I apply it? I'm a hands-on kind of, give me that Bible. I can't quote all the scriptures to you, but the ones I can quote, you can use. Okay? And I can tell you how to use them because I've done it. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So here's the thing. If you went to public school all your life, like I did. I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., which comes with its own challenges. And I went to public school my whole life. And it was drummed into me that God doesn't exist and they can prove it in science. So I became a science geek. My college minor degree is in biology because I love science. I actually have a subscription for many, many years to Scientific American. If you've been around me for 10 minutes, Herbert and Steve are constantly getting, man, I read this article, I read this article, I read this article, and it's all science, right? How many of you love science? Look at that. How many of we actually have scientists in the audience today in our congregation? Those of you that are scientists, I want you to stand up. Stand up back there. I know you're going to get up. You know, get up, get up, get up, stand up, stand up. I need you to stay standing. So these people that are in our congregation actually make a living doing science. What are they doing here with us? Oh, my God. They can't be scientists. They can't be scientists. You can't believe in God and do science. You can't believe in God and discover a way to test for AIDS. You can't believe in God and figure out, be a metallurgist and figure out why things fall apart. You can't. You can't do it. You can't do it. Wait, they're doing it. You guys can sit down now. Here's what I learned. I grew up thinking science. I grew up with the scientific method in my head. I grew up just loving everything there is about science. And then I met God. And I had a conflict. I had a huge conflict in my brain. I had a huger conflict with my brothers, which causes great debate that we won't go into right now. But I had this conflict. And then I had a realization. Science is discovering God's creation. Science is discovering God's creation. And you're going to want proof because I think scientifically, right? So I ought to be able to prove it to you. It's so simple. First, not now, later, I want you to get in front of a computer and Google man-made. I want you to look up things that were created by man. I want you to read about them. And as soon as you find an ingredient that wasn't created by man, go on to the next one. You're not going to find anything. Because everything that is was created by God. What scientists do, what engineers do, is they manipulate what God has created to become other things, like houses and cars and lights. But there is nothing in any of it that I've been able to discover. Somebody's going to come at me this week, and I'm happy for it. That I've been able to discover that was completely created by man, where they started with the inside of a vacuum tube, and then at some point there was something inside that vacuum tube. So that's my first proof. There's nothing that you're going to be able to find that wasn't manipulated by man. Okay. Next is that in the Bible, we use descriptions that work for our brains, right? We use things, we say things, and use examples that are easier for us to understand. Because after 3,000 years of reading the Bible, there's still revelation coming out to people, right? We're still discovering things. There is not one combination of words in the Bible that has not been studied a billion times over the course of human history, as short as our human history is. Since we got brains big enough to understand and start looking at it, right? There's nothing in there that hasn't already been read by 1,000 people yet every single week. When you're studying your Bible, you find something new to you, and we find things that we hadn't heard before. But that's really hard. So my point is that the Bible is as deep and as complicated as anything you ever read, right? It goes so far. But it's also... in order for us to bring it to you, if you think about it, Pastor Dawn, when she's preaching to a congregation, has to make sure that nobody is left out. She doesn't want at the end of service that people are going to walk out of here going, I have no idea what she said. I have read papers published in American Scientific that I had, thank God, I live in an age where I can read them on the computer, because I'd have to look up 50, 60, 100 words in order to understand the article. And then I have to go back and read it again because it's something I'm interested in, but they're presenting it to people who have a vocabulary very different than mine. Not better, not stronger, different. They're in a different field. So I have to figure it out, right? I have to find it. But we use terms in Christendom, in our church, in the Bible, to explain things that in science they know as well, and they use in science. For instance, the simplest one that all of you know, seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Botany. Right? It's botany. Put a seed in the ground. My 5-year-old grandson came over to my house the other day excited because we have a cabinet that has nuts and seeds in it. And he explained to us, if you take one of those seeds and you put it in the ground and you water it, you know what you're going to get? A pumpkin. So this 5-year-old already knows seed time and harvest, right? We use it in the Bible to explain many, many, many things. We're basically talking to you about do your part, have patience, and there'll be a harvest. And you can apply that to botany, and you can apply that to psychology, and you can apply that to human behavior, and you can apply that. This is a truth. This is a truth that exists in the world. And we have some names for those truths. And those truths are things like operating dynamics. Ooh, I love that one. Looking for my operating dynamics. Right? That's because I know most of you didn't see the movie A Beautiful Mind. How many saw A Beautiful Mind? Okay, a lot of you. So operating dynamics, that's all he was looking for. And what happens when you discover an operating dynamic? What happens when you discover a universal truth? What happens when you discover one of these things or you can explain it? You win a Nobel Prize. You win a Nobel Prize. If you look at the Nobel Prizes that are given out for science, and almost everything else, I haven't looked at all of them, they've discovered, they're able to explain now something that God did. Right? Now they can explain it. Now the beauty of it is, for us, is that probably they haven't explained it completely. The atom is called an atom because when they discovered it, they said nothing can be smaller than this. And since Adam was the first, directly out of the Bible, since Adam was the first thing, we're going to call this an atom. And then 10 years later, they went, whoops. Well, all the atoms are made up of. Well, that's got to be the smallest thing. 10 years later, oh boy. Well, that's got to be the smallest thing. God's the smallest thing. God's the biggest thing. God's everything in between. We're just discovering it. So operating dynamics. My notes are a mess. I'm just telling you. They're a mess. Let's see. Laws of nature. Universal truths. Natural law. These are things that we use to describe when we discover something that's applicable across many things, right? But I got a new term for you. Kingdom truths. These are kingdom truths. What we are discovering is truths that already exist in the kingdom. They're truths that we already know about. They're truths that are in our Bible. They're already explained. And I'm happy to have the world and science go out and find these truths and unfold them. I think it's great. And I think when they do, okay, you get a Nobel Prize. And I think it's fascinating. But it's not surprising. Because I know my God. And I know my God created everything. And I can't explain it all, and neither can science. And they keep looking and they keep trying to find and they keep looking and they keep discovering and they keep, but none of that is a surprise to God. If you have a fish that you put in a fish tank and you are a halfway decent person and you care a little bit about your fish, you put things in that tank to keep your fish entertained, right? And to keep it alive. You have bubblers in there. You may have a little treasure chest that goes like this. You have rocks that they can move out of the way, or some fish suck them up and spit them out to make a nest or whatever. They have, you know, that you put things in their environment, right? If you go to the Lindo's house, they one day found a little turtle. It's not little anymore. but they have a terrarium for it, an aquarium for it. And in that aquarium, they put things for that turtle to do, to climb up on, to swim down to. God created the world and the humans that were going on to it, and he put things in our environment for us to do, including discover. So we use these things for a particular purpose, and this is, I'm not even in my teaching yet, this is a lead up to it. We use these things for a particular purpose so that we know that these kingdom truths exist, that we know that there are, we can apply these things. If it's a kingdom truth, it applies to more than just what we think. Seed, time, and harvest. If you look in the Bible, when they come up, when writers talk about seed, time, and harvest, they're not talking about growing a pumpkin. They're talking about so many other things, like get your kids to church when they're young. Get that seed inside them that it'll grow. But you know what happens with your kids, except for Tirsa's? They grow up and they move away. They grow up and they move away. Most of them, a lot of them, go to college. You know what happens in college? They run into people that they live by their brains. What happens when you get there? You want your kid to live by his brain. You want him to get in there. You want him to get this knowledge. You want him to become scientists, doctors, lawyers, whatever. You want him to do it. You want him to be the best that there is, and you never want them to forget that God is in all of it. God is in all of it. Okay, so we use those things to teach us so that our brains can handle it, so our brains can understand it. It's easier for us to say seed, time, and harvest than, hey, dude, you got to be patient. Right? Patient. Well, I waited a minute. Pastor Don says it all the time. We're in this world where we have to have it now. Right? It's got to be a now world. Susan and I bought a new washer and dryer. We heard Home Depot was having a sale. We went to Home Depot. We had Noah with us. So he's in the sharpened cot. And we're pushing him through Home Depot. We get to where the washers and dryers are. There's no attendants there. There's nobody there to help us. We find the one we want. We want to know what the discounts are. We want to know how do we get it delivered. There's nobody there to help us. So I find one of the people with the smocks, and I say, hey, could we get some help? Sure, let me make a call. They make a call. You broadcast throughout the whole store, and we wait. And 5 minutes later, nobody has arrived. So I find another guy with the shirt, a smock, and say, hey, you know, we've done it once already. No, 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 I'll get it. And they make a call, and you hear the announcement over the PA system. So then the third time I went, you know what, let me see if I can find a manager. So we're 15 minutes in. We're 15 minutes in. Is that a long time? We're 15, yeah, yes it is. It was a long time for me. We're 15 minutes in, and I'm on my third to go to complain to somebody after 15 minutes to go complain. Got a manager, made an announcement. Still nobody came, left. On our way out, came across somebody else. No, no, don't leave. We'll get someone. Heard a fourth announcement. After 15 minutes, we left. 15 minutes. We left. We are in a world where everything has to happen now. God forbid I had to get on my horse and go to the next store, right? I could jump into my car and complain all the way about the service at Home Depot. So we got to Lowe's where the guy was sitting in the department. We walked up to him. He said, this is what we want. We got you. 15 minutes, we were gone. We had our washer and dryer ordered. It was going to be delivered, and we're out. That's the kind of world we live in. So now we have to bring things to you in that package. So we bring them to you with seed, time, and harvest. We bring it to you with look at their fruit, right? Jesus said, watch their fruit. That was a very quick and succinct way to go, don't listen to what they're telling you. Watch what they're doing. Their heart will be shown to you by what they're doing, right? Out of your mouth, your heart speaks. These are kingdom truths that apply everywhere. They apply everywhere. And not just to speaking and knowing what's in your heart. It applies to many, many things. And I'm going to give you one today. One you, I don't know if you've seen it or not. Okay, engineers Any engineers in place? One. Anybody else? Two. Okay. All right, so you engineers and you science buffs and you science geeks, I'm going to tell you right at the beginning that everything I say will be true and accurate to a point. There are things like, I'm going to talk about gravity. This is our gravity, okay? And I am going to make a statement that those of you that know is the wrong statement. And that is that all on the surface of the earth, gravity is the same. Okay? You all have been taught that. You've all been taught that we don't need this front anymore. That was for the ushers. You've all been taught that if you fire a cannonball or a bullet or whatever, straight, and nothing else affects it, it's eventually going to hit the earth, right? If you drop a feather, that's a feather. It's a weird-looking duck feather. If you drop a feather at the same time that leaves the muzzle of the cannon and nothing else affects it, wind, for instance, that gravity is going to pull it to earth and they are both going to hit the ground at the same time. Now, the one projectile may be 6 miles away, but when that feather hits the ground, the cannonball has hit the ground. They'll hit at the same time. Gravity works the same. That's not specifically true. There are minor changes depending on how far you are from the center of the earth or how big you are and stuff like that. But we don't care. They're so small, they're negligible. So we're just going to leave it at that, okay? So I'm going to say that gravity works on everything, right? We also have wind. So wind is going to affect my talk today, okay? So this is gravity, this is wind, this is the earth, and this is bedrock, all right? So we'll go earth. Bedrock. This is my world. So what do you think we're going to do today? We're going to build a building. Because these are the forces that are acting on the building, right? We have the force of gravity pushing down on it. We have a lateral force of wind and other things that are trying to push it over. We have the ground, which it's going to set on. And then within the earth, at different levels, we have bedrock. So if you're going to build a house, and at the beginning when we build houses, we just set them right down on the ground, right? We just set them right down on the ground. And wind is pushing against that house, and water is coming, and because of rain, and that's water. Okay. I can't draw. Okay, so water is going to work on it. And what started to happen? These houses didn't last very long. They were overcome by the pressures around that were working on them. And then if you lived in an area where there was the ground moved, I don't know why anybody would live there, but if you live there, so what did they start doing? They started making foundations because they found something out. The three little pigs found it out. If you build it on a foundation and the wind starts blowing and the gravity is pushing on it and water starts flooding it and the ground starts moving, it's going to last longer and you can build a higher structure. Right? True so far? Nobody got any problems with that? Then we discovered if you want to build a really big building, what do you got to do to the foundation? You got to make it bigger, because if you don't make that foundation bigger, it's going to blow over. It's going to fall over. It won't take a lot to push it over. You all know this, right? If you take a broomstick and we try to make it balance right there, what happens? The probability of it balancing on its own is not very good. But if you put a hole in the stage, even a little one, and I put the stick in the hole, it'll stand upright, right? As long as I don't do anything else to it. As long as I don't push it or touch it or try to hang something from it. Because as soon as I do that, what happens? It falls over. It succumbs to the pressures that are being put on it. right? So they discovered, engineers, discovered that when you put on a foundation, when you put the foundation on, then you can build a bigger and stronger structure. But what happens if you want to build a skyscraper and you want your building to go all the way up to touch the clouds? What are you going to do with that foundation? You got to build a really big foundation, and if you're really smart, you dig down to the bedrock and you secure your foundation right into the bedrock. Science, guys. Science. Gotta love science. Engineering, right? Physics. Just makes you want to sing, right? So now we can build these big, giant buildings. And what do we discover? They'll mostly stand unless you put some undue force on them, like run a plane into them. What happens? Doesn't matter how big the foundation is, it comes tumbling down. Okay? If you put a normal day's pressure on it, which includes hurricanes, you know, the New York City, they get them. It includes hurricanes, it includes flooding. One of the things I learned when I was studying for this talk was that nowadays buildings are getting so tall that they discovered that if you keep them rectangular as they go up, the wind actually starts creating these vortices on the sides that then start moving in all different directions, and it shakes the top, just the top of the building, and makes the rest of it weak, and they could fall over. So what they've done, and there are actually buildings in Dubai and London where they take a whole floor and they cut out windows that don't have any window in it so that the air at the top can go straight through and it doesn't shake it anymore. They modified their structure so that the top isn't shaking, which will make the whole thing, because you get down to about here where your foundation is holding this thing really solid, right? And it starts shaking, it's going to crack right around here. They also discovered if you want to make them really tall, you got to change the design on the way up as you get to the top. So you see buildings like this, or you see them like the Chrysler building or other buildings where they narrow coming to the top. The reason they do that is so that the pressures that are pushing on the top of the building don't cause the building to self-destruct and collapse, that you don't lose it. So they found out that as you got bigger, as you got taller, as you got to be a skyscraper, the forces working on the building needed to be modified in order for the building to be able to keep standing and in order for them to make it go higher and higher. Right? This is cool stuff! Right? Come on! Some engineer figured this out, and hopefully not too many people died while they were figuring it out. While buildings were collapsing and Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? Bad foundation. They just put it on a slab and built it up. Whoops. But now we got tourism. We got to figure out how to keep it leaning but get it a foundation. Let's not go there. So the taller your building gets, you have to do some modifications to the top. You have to have a big, giant foundation. If you're really smart, you sink it right into the bedrock. You have ties that tie you right into the bedrock. This makes sense, right? This is science. This is engineering. This is easy for your brain to accept. This is easy for your brain to accept because you've seen buildings. You've seen New York City. You've seen what happens when an undue force hits it, right? Airplane, and it came tumbling down. It wasn't going to come tumbling down any other way. It needed some unbelievable force, right? Over the course of history, we've actually even discovered that if your building catches on fire and burns to the ground, we can rebuild on the same foundation. How many times have you watched a history show where in Egypt, let's say, they go and they find this building and they do some kind of ground-penetrating radar, and what do they discover underneath the foundation of that building? Foundation of a building. And what's underneath that? A foundation of a building. They're all built on the same spot. Pretty interesting. But somebody questioning my science? So if you have, even if your building completely collapses and you have a strong foundation that's into the bedrock, you can rebuild right on top of that strong foundation. You may not go as high, or you may have figured out something that, you know, engineers figured out over time, and you build the building different, or you may, but you have the same foundation, right? Anything wrong so far other than my explanation of gravity? All good? Everybody agree? Good. Glad you agree. So let's start over. Let's start over. This is where we started before, right? Wind or lateral pressure, downward pressure, bedrock, earth. But let's build a human. Let's build a human. They're going to look an awful lot like a building. Because I can't draw. And let's call this downward pressure God. What do we know about God? God works the same on every living soul, whether you believe in him or not. He created not just the good, but the bad. He created everybody. He didn't make the bad bad. He didn't make the good good. He made everybody. And then he gave you free will. The only mistake I can see. No, God, you didn't make a mistake. Then he gave us free will, and we did with it as we wished, right? So God, working on everybody on earth, everybody on earth. Sometimes that's hard for us to accept, that God works on everybody on earth. And it's very, very hard for the world to accept. Right, I don't know if you saw this 2 weeks ago. You know that police officer, off-duty police officer in Dallas, walked into what she thought was her apartment, shot and killed the man who was eating ice cream and watching football in his own apartment. Okay, she went to court. She was obviously found guilty, and she was found guilty of murder. At her sentencing, the man who died's brother said, "I don't really want you to go to jail. I want you to go to heaven." And then he turned to the judge and said, "Can I give her a hug?" How many saw that? How many cried? Yeah, I saw Steve cry in the restaurant when I showed it to him. Yeah. That young man understands. He knows what's important. He didn't dismiss what she did, but he said, "I want you to go to heaven." His wish is not that you go to jail, but that you go to heaven. That, we're going to see, is a tall building with a big foundation. Okay, these lateral pressures that are working with us. Well, now we got to go over here and we got to go physical, spiritual. So above the earth and below the earth are, we're going to signify spiritual and physical. The above the earth is going to be our human walking around. Below the earth is going to be the spiritual world. We're going to call it spiritual. You know it's not actually in the dirt, right? This is just an example. Okay. Winds. Good and evil. And good evil exist in the physical world and the spiritual world. How do we know? Because God said so, because the Bible said so. Right? That's how we know. What do you suppose the bedrock is? We already got God. Bedrock must be Jesus. The bedrock's not Peter. It's Jesus. Okay? The bedrock is Jesus. So here's our world. This is the world we live in. Looks right, right? Just like the other one, I accurately portrayed what Earth looked like and the pressures that are working on Earth. And now I think I've accurately portrayed what life looks like for Christians. It really looks like this for everybody, by the way. But here's how we're going to do ours different. So, we have these forces that are working on the whole earth. There's good and evil working on the earth. God is pressing down on everybody and affecting everybody. Jesus is available to everyone. Jesus is available to everyone. And good and evil exist both in the spiritual realm and the physical realm, and they work on all of us. Good and evil works on all of us. Seed time and harvest. Just like on the backside where I showed you how to build a building and everything I said was accurate and the science was there, it's founded in, it's a truth. It's a kingdom truth. Okay? The science on the other side and the engineering on the other side are true in this side too because God created it all. Okay? God created it all. If it is easy for your brain to accept that a building, in order to get tall, needs a strong foundation, then it should be easy for you to accept that in order for your life to get tall, you need a strong foundation. So we're going to talk about that. So let's build, let's go and we'll say, okay, newborn. Ain't it cute? You don't see it? Clean slate, pretty much. It's not really under the influence of mom and dad yet. It's not under the influence of much other than food and pooping and going to the nursery. It's cute. Life goes on. Life in the world on the physical side tells you you got to build a big building. Go to school, study. Go to college, play sports, get really good at an instrument. Learn how to debate, learn how to read, learn how to reason, learn how to understand, learn how to, you know, become a superstar, be a football star, be a movie star, be a politician, build this great, massive life. And the first time something evil hits you, what happens? You crash. There's no foundation. You crash. This is why we see these incredible people. People that we look at and admire. That we see and we go, man, what a life they've led. You're looking at the physical. You're looking at what they've done in the physical. And then you are shocked when they have an affair. Steal, do drugs, whatever. It falls them over. It knocks them down because the foundation isn't there. Because they don't have a good foundation. Now, here's the thing. God's working on everybody, right? So they may have, through time, built some foundation. You know, they're a good person. They don't do anything on purpose to harm anybody or to do anything negative. They're okay. They're starting to build a foundation. They learned how to use their money. They give to charities. They got an okay foundation. How many of those people have you seen crash to the ground? Every week we find out somebody that we thought was doing well and that was a good person came crashing to the ground because their foundation didn't equal the height of their life. Most of us get wrapped up in this. Most of us get to a place where we want the world to see this because the world doesn't see this. The world sees this. This is what we think we should look like. This is why we buy fast cars and, you know, fancy clothes even though we live in a shack somewhere. Right? Why? Because we want to appear as though we have this giant life. Well, what's your foundation? That giant life can come crashing to the ground. And when it comes crashing to the ground, if you have a small little foundation, I was a good person and I gave the charity, you don't have much to rebuild on, do you? And you don't have any, you don't have as much time to rebuild. Your life happened, right? You were 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. When did it come crashing down? Let's say it came crashing down when you were 50. You better have a pretty big foundation because you probably don't have 50 more years to build that life back up. So there better be a foundation down there that is that still survived, like our fire on the other side, that you can build on, right? So what is missing from my example? God. God's not missing. God's right there. What? Bedrock is there. Jesus is there, our bedrock. Anchoring to the bedrock. But what comes between Jesus and the bedrock? Look at it. What am I missing? You got, who said that? Ding, 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 ding. The Holy Spirit. You want to build a big, deep, beautiful foundation, you better get the Holy Spirit working in your life. What did Jesus say? What's that scripture? Luke something. What did Jesus say when he was talking about it? She's going to put it up in just a second. Jesus said, I am going to say, they've met the rock. They know about God. They have all these pressures working on them. And Jesus said, better that I leave because I'm sending you a helper, right? And Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is, before that he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. It's coming to you. It's a teacher. It's for you to learn from. It's gonna indwell where? Inside you. I'm going to bring this thing. All these other things are external. I'm going to bring this thing and deposit it inside you that's going to make you strong. And then Jesus himself, as a man, was tempted by Satan. What happened? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And what happened in the wilderness? He was tempted. He was tempted. And how did Satan tempt him? Things of the world. Things of the world. Jesus made a point of telling us that filled with the Holy Spirit, which is to say to us, my foundation is strong. Right now we go, yeah, it's Jesus. Better be strong. He's the bedrock. All right? But we didn't know that at the time. He's walking the earth. He's teaching us. He is the foundation. So you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you start doing what? You start praying in tongues. You start praying. You start getting yourself embedded into the bedrock that is Jesus Christ. Now, how tall a building can you build? Sky's the limit. What do you want in life? What do you want in life? You have to do it, by the way. It doesn't get handed to you. You still have to work. God said he would bless you. You better be ready to be blessed. You can't just stand there and go, okay, I'm going to stand here until God blesses me. I guess God doesn't love me. You have to be out there giving God something to pour the blessing into, right? You've still got things to do. You still have to build on this foundation. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you and he answers your questions. He answers your questions. If you never ask a question, your answers are going to be pretty silent. Okay? Just because you understand that the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and he does, doesn't mean you're using the Holy Spirit. You're activating him. You're interacting with him. He's whispering in your ears, and the people up here are saying, better get him to a shrink and get him some shots or something because he's hearing voices, right? You have to learn how to interact with the Holy Spirit. You have to know what he is inside you and how he sounds inside you. And when he's whispering to you and talking to you, what does that look like? And when Jesus, our bedrock, is shining a light in front of you, lighting your feet and shining your path and helping you through, you got to know that's Jesus that's lighting it up. Don't step out of that light unless you're stupid, right? If you're not stupid, stay in the light. All of us have been stupid. Unfortunately for me, most of you have watched me be stupid. Hopefully you were watching when I stepped back into the light as well. Okay, so you watch. You understand all of the things that are going on, that God is interacting in your life, cares about you so much. He's counted every hair on your head. That good and evil is going to happen. They're going to be blowing against you in the natural and in the spirit. And I said this before, and I don't think some of you believe me. Satan doesn't care about you if you don't believe in God. You're already going to heaven. He only has to hell. He only has so many demons. Remember, a third fell. It doesn't say more were created. He only has so many demons. He needs to get to those people who believe in God, who are saved, who are talking to the people around them. Oh my God. He could care less. Satan could care less about the people that are driving themselves to hell. Go. Okay, you demons that I had assigned to them, put one on them, make sure they don't run into somebody who's saved, and come help us fight somebody else. So who's going to fight you up here? You. You're sitting in church. You believe in God. The winds of evil are going to press against you harder than anybody on the planet because you are the people that Satan's afraid of. You interact with people out in the world. You talk to them about God. You demonstrate him in your life. They're coming after you, right? You know, one of the things that I love is when people say, well, how come all these really evil people who don't believe in God are being blessed? Where are they being blessed? Because they have a big building and no foundation? You think they're being blessed? So they got money. They're going to hell. And Satan doesn't care about them on earth, right? Because they're going to hell. He's done. He didn't have to waste any time on them. He wants them in hell. It's those of us that are sitting here. Once I was told about teaching here, and any of you that have taught, Wednesday nights or tonight, or you're doing a home group or whatever, any of you that are teaching about God, right? Any of you that are going to bring a message forward, wherever it is, that's going to exalt God, that is going to influence other people towards God, any of you that's happening, you already know that when those times come, what happens to you? You come under attack. You come under attack. Celebrate that attack, man. Go, I must be doing something right. Satan is pounding on me like crazy. Yeah! Make sure you have put on the full armor of God and you have a big foundation when you're being attacked. So you can celebrate, but celebrate it. Say, listen, I was told a month ago that I'm going to be teaching here. What's happened in that month? Anybody? I crashed my motorcycle. I lost my job. What else? Do I look depressed? I should be depressed. The people in the world up here are going, oh, Jeff, I'm so sorry. I can't tell you how many texts I got. So sorry for you. What's going on? I'm like, Pastor, is God still on the throne? Yes, Jeff. Okay. I was just checking because, man. Right? You are going to come under attack. Celebrate the attack. Just this morning and last night and this morning, trying to get me not to sleep, the waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning was God. The mess in my head while I'm trying to sleep was Satan. trying to keep me awake. Why? So when I got here, I wouldn't be full of energy and bringing something to you and paying attention. I thought I would be, okay, let's talk class. Bueller. So I knew coming into it that I was going to be under attack. But I wear the armor that God made for me. And I put it on. And I'm like, okay, now I'm human. So I have moments. But they are very small moments most of the time. Lately. They are very short moments. And usually, one of you are screaming in my ear, hey, stupid, get back in the light. Oh, yeah. Okay. Back in the light. Right? Foundation. So what's part of your foundation? The people around you. The people that are hearing from God, that are filled with the Holy Spirit. The people that are praying. The people that are the watchmen on the wall. The people that care about you, love you, care what happens to you, and not just about this. They care about this. They know that when evil is pressing against you, that they're there to help, that to remind you, do you have the full armor of God on? To remind you to pray and hear from God. To remind you, they're part of your foundation, right? What else is part of your foundation? Church. Church. Can you believe in God and never attend a church? Of course. Can you read the Bible on your own? Absolutely. Why does the Bible tell us that we shouldn't be alone and by ourselves, even if we have the Bible and we believe in God? We need strength. We need a foundation. We need people around us. We need to hear different viewpoints, not just the one that we're hearing. Right? We need to be able to interact with each other. We need to be able to strengthen each other and hold each other up. We need to be able to hear. When I'm under attack, I don't want other people that are under attack defending me. I want those of you that are not being attacked to defend me. Right? If you're worried about getting hit by fiery darts and you're not wearing your armor, go deal with your stuff. Don't come to my aid. Because it's going to look like I got help and I don't have help. Because you're being attacked, right? I want people around me. So how many people do I need to have around me? I don't know the answer. I got all of you. So I'm just going to keep building my foundation of the people around me, right? I'm going to build it up and build it up so that when I come under attack and Herbert's having problems, Steve will come get me. And if Steve and Herbert are having problems, Willie will step up. And if all three of them are having problems, I'm moving to Detroit. Because there's some serious attacks going on if that's happening. I know that I have all these people, Anthony, Jerry Alter, all of you guys are going to come to my aid. I know it, even when I don't even know. I know that some of you heard that I lost my job and you've been praying for me. I can feel it. You didn't have to call me and tell me. You're in my foundation. I know you're doing it. Jerry's over there going, Jerry actually texted me, called me, took me to dinner. Said, hey, man, I just want to make sure you're okay. He wasn't worried about this. He's worried about this. Is your foundation cracking? No, it's not. Okay, great. I'm good. Make sure that you got a strong foundation. What else? Now, how do you tack into Jesus? How do we make sure that we are tied hard? One, first and foremost, salvation. Right? There's only one way to get salvation, so there's your first one. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God that came to earth and died for our sins and that someday will rise us up into heaven, you've got one post deep down into the bedrock. One post is okay. Develop some more posts that get you connected to Christ. That gets you there. So when someday this happens and you lose your job and you wreck your motorcycle, I still have a foundation that can take me to here. I don't even have to build on it anymore. I already know it's there to get me to here. Right? Right. How do I know? because I was here and everything was okay. Another little hint. Build your foundation before you build your life. Because if you don't, you're taking a risk that your life is going to fall over before your foundation gets big enough to support it. So if you're one of these superstars, if you're an amazing high school basketball player, colleges are recruiting you, the NBA can't wait for you to get there, tell the coach practice is great, but he don't want you if your foundation isn't solid, because you're going to do something stupid somewhere along the line, and everyone's going to be scrambling. You know, we thought he was a good kid. He was a good kid. He just got too much life before he had enough foundation to support it. Right? Right? All the young people seem to be the really young ones. So. Build your foundation. Build your foundation. Because it's all God. Seed time and harvest. You know them by their fruit. Every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. These are all God. He did it all. Physics, botany, everything. Astrophysics. Some people think that God created Earth. Okay. What about the infinity that is that way? Well, actually in every direction. Up. God created it for us to discover, to find, to understand, to have fun with. To have a career about, to have, you know, just fun reading the articles that you don't understand. Right? It was all given to us by our Creator. It all melds together. The truth on this side of the board, which was easy to accept, is the truth that is on this side of the board that should be easy to accept. Because they're the same truth created by the same God. I need your brains to flip. This isn't easier. It's the same. It's the same. It's a kingdom truth. It works in the physical. It works in the spiritual. Because it was all created by God. It was all created by God. When I stop talking, it gets really quiet. Are the this is just a dangerous thing to say. Are there any questions? You know, one of the problems with wearing technology is people are watching us and they're texting me. And I should have just taken this off and put it on the stamp, but I want, if Pastor Don did, I was going to stop and read it and go, okay, but so far it's only been from Canada. Hi, Canadians. So, question. So, let's play a little game. In this, the real world, here's a real world. What's the danger with that life? No foundation. What's going to happen to that life? It's going to get some lateral pressure. It's going to collapse. It's going to fall over. It's going to crumble. Something's going to happen. Somebody's texting me right now. And I bet you it's the Canadians. It's Pastor Dawn. She said, yep, I'm watching. Okay, can we turn off the... What happens with this life? It's shallow. It's going to take some hits, you know. It's going to be able to take not much spiritually. If Satan starts attacking this person, it's going to be very easy to attack them. This is a person who is in danger of stop going to church. of stop believing in God. This is a person that's in danger of walking away. Because in the physical, they're having some success, and they must have done it. They did it. So what do I need a foundation for that I can't even see? So this person is in a little bit more trouble than most. How's this person? Yeah, this person's better now. Let me make it a whole bunch better. This person's a Christian. This person's filled with the Holy Spirit. They've got a pretty good foundation for the size of their building. If you're this person's friend or parent, what are you advising them? What are you advising them? Get connected to Jesus and build your foundation, because it looks like your life is taken off. So at this point, all is well. But don't neglect this, because this is prettier. This is blingier. This is more fun. Okay? So if you're the parent of this person, even though they're arguing with you, this person needs foundation. This person needs to be in our youth group. This person needs people surrounding them that pray. This person needs to start being connected into Jesus. This person, because their life is doing well. All right? So now what about this person? This person is in a little bit of trouble too, for a different reason. This person has a huge foundation. They probably go to a great church like Liberty. They attend the classes, they read, they study. And they're all about their foundation, which is great. But they have to build on it. You got to build on it. Have any of you ever seen this person? Of course, you're in church. We have these people. They are solid Christians. You can't take it away from them to save their life. If you have to be either one, be this one. But they're not much of an influence to the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world's going to look at this and go, I don't want to be that. That's great and all. But I want to be this. Jeez. So if you're the friend of this person, you have a tougher job, because you got to make sure that they stay this way. You don't want them to start pulling away from their foundation. You don't want to start them. These are people that are in danger of saying, man, you know, I'm 60 years old. It's not working out the way I thought it was going to. Now, if they didn't have something happen to crash them, and this is just where they've gotten in life, they've still done it very well. They built an amazing foundation, which is necessary, right? But you need to help these people build up here. Why? Because we want them influencing other people. We want other people looking at them and saying, I want what they got. And the first time that people look at you and say, I want what they got, that didn't work out. They're looking at this. You're looking at that. Your ungodly friends, they don't look at your foundation. They're looking at what you're doing up here in the physical. And they're latching on to you. This is why parents, for you teenagers, this is why your parents want to see your friends. Because they know who you are by looking at their friends. Right? We may have blinders on for our own kids, but when we see your friend coming in, smoking pot, tattooed up, they're 12 years old. Hey, Mr. Dudley. Okay, you're never going to be around them again, and you and I need to go talk to some people. we obviously need help. Why? Because that's who your friends are. Right? All right. So, but this person has incredible potential to build up. All right, so they build up. How about that person? That's a superstar. That's somebody that we all look at and we go, man, I like their life. I like their foundation. I want to glean from them. I want to know them. They're in danger of what? Thinking they're all that. As soon as you think you're all that, it burns down, or your foundation starts burning down. Right? So these are things you have to care about and take care of. You have to build them. You have to know what they are. You have to know that they exist. You have to accept that the other side building the building was true, and all the factors and all the physics and all the engineering that went into it is true. And we can look at buildings all over the place and know that it's true. And we can look at the history of buildings, even those that have come crashing down because of hard external forces of evil, right? We know that it's true. God created both. It's the same thing. Seed time and harvest, however you apply it. This applies on both sides of the board. You want to build your life up, you better build a foundation for it. You want to build a great foundation, it better be tied into bedrock. Bedrock is Christ. Your foundation begins with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. Jesus even had to have the Holy Spirit come. He told us that before he was tested, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Got scriptures here somewhere. Here we go. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. So, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, this is Christ, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it doesn't matter what happens. Rains, floods, winds blow and beat down on, but you are in the foundation that is the rock. It's true in both ways. This is a kingdom truth. This is a kingdom truth. It applies in the physical world, it applies in the spiritual world, and it applies when you want to build an outstanding human. Okay? Okay, so now, everybody, close your eyes. Dear Lord, we heard your message this morning, God. God, right now, please give us a vision of our life. How big is our life? How tall is it? How big is my foundation? Am I tied into Christ? If I take hits, even unusually strong hits, am I in danger of falling over? Lord, put it as simple as on that board. Show me a drawing. Above in the physical, below in the spiritual. Lord, evaluate our lives right now, God, and give us this simple diagram, Lord. Thank you, God. God, let us not judge ourselves, Lord. Let us see it for what it is. For your love for us. For your speaking to our hearts, talking to us through the Holy Spirit, showing us in our minds, God, where we are. Now, Lord, show us our future lives, God. Show us the potential of that building that's built in the physical, Lord. And everyone repeat after me. God, thank you for that visual, God. thank you for showing me how much you love me. Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit is loud inside me so that I can build a foundation through you with the help of the Holy Spirit, embedded in the bedrock of Jesus Christ, to support that building you just showed me, that is my life. That is my future life. I thank you, God, for those blessings that you're obviously going to pour out upon me. And thank you that my foundation will be ahead of my building. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, who needs help with their foundation? Everybody's foundations are good? Okay. Everybody's foundations are good. Yes, you need help with your foundation? Okay, very good. I was just going to say, there's places that you can avail yourself here. Anybody else? Lord, I lift her up tonight, God, and I pray for her right here in her seat, God, that you are expanding her foundation, Lord, that you are building it up, God, that you are giving her wisdom, God, and strength and engineering skills, God, like no other, that she's always going to be able to sense her foundation, God, that she'll always be able to see it, Lord, that she'll always be able to know what she needs to do to make her foundation to be able to support that beautiful, wonderful, magnificent life that you have poured out on her and that you have yet to pour out, God. I thank you, God, that she is in our presence, Lord, and we get to watch. We get to watch and be a part, and I pledge to be a watchman on the wall. I pledge to watch her back, God, and that when she needs me and she calls out, I will be ready in Jesus' name. I will be ready to help in the spirit, in the natural. I'll be ready in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Is there anybody where I talked about the absolute need to be embedded in the bedrock of Christ, and that the first and most important and the strongest piece of that foundation is your salvation. If there's anybody here, we're all going to pray together, but if there's anybody here today that isn't sure that you are solidly embedded in Christ through salvation, then once we start praying, I want you to raise your hand so that I can see you. I'm not going to embarrass you or pull you out. But we're going to pray. Everybody's going to have their eyes closed and their heads bowed. And when that time comes, when we're praying for the salvation, I want to know if anyone is getting it for the first time or they're building on it. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, that today is the day, Lord. Today is the day that we come before you, God, and we know that you are our Savior, God, that you went to that cross to die for us, Lord, that you are the only way into heaven, God, that the only way for our souls to get past anything else, God, and through those pearly gates into heaven is through you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray today, and I say, I accept this, God. I accept you, God. I understand that you are the only way in. You are the only way through the gates. You are the only way that I get to go to heaven someday. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for those hands. I appreciate that. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Anything else? We're good? 1 minute. Pastor Don loves you. And who loves them, and who loves those, and who loves the other people, but who do you love the most? Have a good week.